independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Again, I didn't know there was any credibility. I didn't know if there was anything behind it. I can't vouch for the information. You know, someone sent me an email. I can't help what someone sends me. You know, I read it. I responded accordingly.
I would have looked at Don Jr. and said, if somebody from Nigeria sent you an email and said that they were once a prince but currently have over $300 quadrillion stashed away somewhere, and if there's any way that you would be willing to help them out, they would give you most of the money, would you respond to said email, Don Jr.? Chad, you're making fun of Don Jr. That's not cool. It's not cool. But it's funny. I don't care what he did. He didn't do anything wrong. People say, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. But what about it? No, he didn't do anything wrong. He was stupid, potentially. Remember, all this happened before everything happened, if that makes sense. I'll break it down to you. This is the way it happened. Russia, big explosion of craziness. But before that, nothing really. It happened pre that. But the one thing I will say, for those of you out there who support Don Jr. and everything that that the Trumps are about, you got to do better, brother. And I'm not talking about you took a meeting. I got no problem with that. You're the son of a candidate running for the president of the United States. The son of a local mayor would take the same meeting to get dirt on the person that he or she is running against. Don't think they won't. But, and I do mean but, what do we always say when it comes to situations like this? It's the cover up. Not that there was anything to cover up, but when you continually change a story, even though there's no there, it makes people ask, why are you changing the story? I would like to know why you're doing that. That's the issue that I have. But as far as everything else, there is no crime here because there was no monetary gain for either side. None of that stuff happened. It was more a loss leader and a lie to get in to see somebody who potentially could help somebody down the road with some of the things they want help with, particularly when it comes to adoptions.
In retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently. Again, this is before the Russia mania. This is before they were building it up in the press. For me, this was opposition research.
Opposition research. Russia mania. It's about Russia mania, baby. It's all it's about, baby. It's about Russia mania. What kind of mania is it about Russian mania? Again, it doesn't do anything. Doesn't hurt. Doesn't help. Doesn't do anything. There's no there for all the people out there I see who would say, this is it. We have got the smoking gun, and you're running around celebrating, and everybody's going to have Trump's going out of the office parties. Everybody's going to have impeachment parties. By the way, speaking of the word impeachment, they were shooting for this. The impeachment effort got one Dem support. One. Let's count that out. We'll do it out loud. We could do it all together. One. One. That's not a lot. You're not going to win with that. They know they can't do anything until potentially 2018. And quite frankly, at that point in time, you also have to take the temperature of America. Right? You have to take the temperature of America. And by that, I mean, let's flash out till 2018. So there we are. We've seen a couple 3% GDPs. We are feeling pretty good. They've got tax reform and a new version of health care, Ryan care, Trump care, whatever the hell you want to call it. People are feeling good. The economy seems good. They're working on immigration. Even if you win back enough, you know what? The appetite may not be there. So you may not be even getting any of that. Just face the facts. I know. You don't want to face the facts, people out there on the left. He's not going anywhere. All right? Do you feel better? Do you feel worse? You probably feel worse. Right? Do you want to sit down? Put your head between your knees. Just breathe. Breathe. You're going to be fine. You're absolutely going to be fine. The good news out of all of this is the fact that we do finally understand that, yes, Don Jr. is transparent.
Here it is. I'm more than happy to be transparent about it, and I'm more than happy to cooperate with everyone.
More than happy to be transparent, more than happy to cooperate. Congratulations, Don Jr. So can we move past this and focus on the stuff that we need to focus on? Healthcare, things of that nature. I was serious yesterday when I said we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And by that, I mean, we're not down. We're not out. We're not any of those things. But it's time that we start doing for ourselves what government's been trying to do for us, even though we really didn't need done, and eventually they took it over. You ever do that? You ever work with somebody and they want you to do something, and then they sit there and they watch you do it, and eventually they get frustrated and they take it away because they want it done a certain way? And then you're like, well, you know, what are you doing? I'm doing it. Well, I want it done this way. Just let me do it. No, that's kind of what government's become. So the quicker we can get back to handling business the way that we need to handle business, the better it's going to be for all of us. And remember, customers. We are customers. That's it right there. Customers. Treat them as if we're here for a service. You are not providing the service. We will look around. Yesterday, we moved from the inane, stupid, and ridiculous to the inane, stupid, and even more ridiculous. Our good friend and yours, Conor McGregor and Mayweather. Now, these are the first of what is going to be four. And they are here. Yesterday was the Staples Center. Then tomorrow, I think it is. Tomorrow, I think they're at the Barclays Center. So they're doing four of these relatively quickly before ahead of their August 26th fight. But it was hilarious to listen to them. And, of course, you remember this good old-fashioned one.
There's no other way about it. His little legs, his little core, his little head. I'm going to knock him out inside four rounds, mark my words.
His little legs, his little heart, his little... I accept, is he saying corn? No, it's core. It's core. But this is what's great right here. This is what I find to be fantastic. So they talked to Mayweather, too. He got a talk. And I was telling, yeah, if you don't know how big these guys are, you think, oh, these guys are massive. They're big. They're not. They're tiny, itty-bitty people. They're not big at all. They're like small, itsy-bitsy folk. So it's not like Mayweather is like 5'11", 200 pounds, and McGregor's like 6 foot and 205. It's not like that. They're like 5'6", 5'7". They go about a buck 35, buck 40, maybe buck 50 sopping wet and out of training. So that right there is hilarious. But Mayweather is much older. I think we forget this. This is the puncher's chance in the world. Oh, really, Chad? Is that what it is now? He's older. So that's it. That's what my advantage is. Yeah, take it, right? That's your advantage. Deal with it. But yesterday, Mayweather finally got a talk, right? And I will say there is a lot of P.T. Barnum in Conor McGregor. There is a lot of P.T. Barnum. But the greatest of all when it comes to promoting a fight, when it comes to doing the right thing for the big dollar bills, yo, has been Conor McGregor.
I'm an old man. I'm an old man. I'm not even the same man I was 20 years ago. I'm not the same fighter I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same fighter I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same fighter I was 2 years ago. But I got enough to beat you.
Notice how he didn't say knock you out. And I meant to say earlier, Mayweather. Notice how he didn't say knock. Because it has been, are you ready for this? In 10 years, he's knocked out two opponents. He's not a puncher. He's not. He wears you down. He uses the word, you know, they call boxing the sweetest science. It's a sweet science for a reason. He uses that. He does. And it was just, it was a great spectacle. And if you've never seen, and I was telling people, the thing about this is great. This is almost, in some ways, the media versus Trump, right? You've got a brash talking person who is not a boxer. You've got a brash talking person that is not a politician, who makes big wild guarantees, who nobody thinks has a chance in hell in winning. The other side is the media. They've been around forever. They're the media. They never lose. It's always done right. They're bigger than everybody else. They're very, very important. It's always about them first and foremost because they're the ones who are the moral compass and will set America straight. And this is kind of what it is. It is hilarious, but there is that's a perfect analogy of kind of the world we live in now. And Mayweather and the media think they're going to do this to Trump.
We know Mr. Tapout like to quit. And you will wave that white flag because you can choose which way you want to go. I'm guaranteeing you this. You're going out on your face or you're going out on your back. Now, which way you want to go?
But it was great to watch. And much like what has been politics for the last year and a half, it's going to be a spectacle. It will be a spectacle. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be a night where we can get, you know, and we're talking about it, right? A lot of people are talking about it. It's going to be extremely interesting, but in the end, we'll all move on with our lives. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. So much stuff to get to today. Just some crazy, crazy stuff when it comes to healthcare, net neutrality. Shia LaBeouf goes crazy, and if you've not heard it, it makes the press conference look tame. Shia LaBeouf maybe needs to get in a ring, that's for sure. So Chad Benson Show.
You want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
The online retail giant said its Prime Day sales were better than Black Friday and Cyber Monday put together. Amazon says the day's total revenue was a whopping 60% higher than last year. Prime Day's most popular item was the Echo Dot. Amazon dropped the price $15 for Prime members. Another big seller was the Instant Pot pressure cooker. In all, the company said tens of millions of Prime members bought items during the 30-hour Prime Day window. That's up more than 50% from last year. Sharon Reed, NBC News Radio.
You know what was crazy about that? Not only was Amazon Prime Day yesterday so big, and I talked to a lot of people, including myself, who bought something off Amazon Prime. It was as big as Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. It was bigger than that. That is insane. The amount of money and the traffic. And it shows you what if marketing, good presence, an amazing online presence, word of mouth, all of that stuff will do for you. It's incredible. My God, that is just, I was looking at today going, yeah, that's insane. I got to get me one of those companies. Got to be owning one of those soon. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, as always, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You know, every single day, we break it down for you like nobody's business. That's what we do. We try to make you hipper. We try to make you cooler. We try to make you much better with the street vernacular, and we call that our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
Your urban word of the day is kind of like it's a phrase, right? You know, it doesn't have to be a singular word. But I think all of us have had this. It could be a person. It could be a situation. It could be anything. And you can't stop thinking about it. And usually it's not a good situation. You're pining over an old love. You're stressed about work, all of those kind of things, right? A situation between you and your friend. You know what's happening when that's going on? Living rent-free in your brain. Man, I can't get that girl out of my head. She's living rent-free. That's right. Living rent-free. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
When I'm in Washington, every other question is about Russia. But when I go back to Texas, nobody asks about Russia.
Nobody asks about Russia. Nobody. Zero, zilch, nada. That's the thing that's amazing. if you're in D.C., that's the thing that's amazing. It was the best soundbite I've heard in a long time. And I think that sums up the American people and what they really think. We were having a mini marketing thing here today, talking to a guy who's helping us with our online presence and stuff. And we were talking, and he says, you know, describe, like, who your audience is. And we gave him a breakdown and stuff. And you know what? Well, as we were breaking down the cares and the have-nots, the things they want, the whole nine yards, their fears, this, any other, Russia never came up in any of it. Because it doesn't. Just like North Korea. Remember it was a month ago? North Korea was going to destroy the world. But now it's just kind of like, eh. Now we're on to something new, right? We're on to something new. And understand that the way that these things go is how the media frames them. Trump has a lot of the media pegs correctly. The difference is when other politicians would say stuff like this, that the media has got liberal bias and whatnot. They would say things like that. You know, that's the way they would say it, and it'd be quick. They didn't fight with him. Trump has given people a reason to go, man, he's right in a lot of ways about the media. Well, the media is framing things the way that they think that America wants to hear and what is important to them. You ever had people, it's like, to me, I look at the Russia story like I look at independent movies, right? It's going to win an Academy Award, yet it did $4 million at the box office, and nobody gave a rat's ass. But you're telling me it's the greatest movie in the history of mankind, and I have to watch it, and it's incredible. And it's 3.5 hours of a love story that really nobody cares about, and one person's dying, and you're saying it's this greatest, the most amazing thing, and it's dull and it's boring. Yet the rest of America spends $700 billion to watch robots fight each other. You know why? Because that's what's important to them, and that's what they want. Russia is an independent movie that they're going to continue to tell you and everybody, it's vitally important, when in truth, it's not that important in the day-to-day scheme of things. 844-DIG-CHAD. Don't let it live rent-free in your brain. I'll tell you that right now. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us as well, 323-538-2423. Net neutrality. And some crazy words right there. Words we're going to be talking about. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
So net neutrality is the principle that all of the information that flow over the pipes that come onto your computer, right? So when you type in a website, information flows over pipes, it comes to your computer. Net neutrality is the principle that all that information has to be treated the same. So the companies that own the pipes can't say, you know what, we don't want that website to be fast, we want that one to be slow, and we don't like what that one is saying, so we're going to stop it all together, and maybe you'd like a tiered plan so you can get Wikipedia, yeah. Right? So net neutrality is a very important principle to people on the internet.
So today, many of you who ventured into your computer, you went online, lo and behold, there was something that popped up and says, hey, do you love the internet? Then sign this. Or you had a choice to say, I don't really care about the internet. And it was about net neutrality. Ajit Pai, I think is his name, is the guy that's now the head of the FCC. I probably screwed up his name for that. I apologize. It's funny because I think we've had him on the show a couple times as well. They want to do away with it. Remember last year, the big controversy, they decided, hey, we're going to go with net neutrality, and this is what it is. Essentially, the ISP, Internet Service Providers, they are going to have no choice but to have kind of one speed for everybody. There is no favorability. There's no favorability. So you can't charge somebody a little bit more over here so their service can run a little bit better. Everybody kind of gets the same thing. That sounds great, right? It's about neutrality. It's equality. So we all get the same. Man, doesn't that sound great? I think it does. But then people are saying, well, wait a minute, ISP providers. Like, no, why not? That's ridiculous. That's silly. That's we should be able to charge what we want. And if you want to use more bandwidth, they want more strength, they want more power. You know what? We want to charge them a little bit more. Then you know what? We should be able to do that. Who wants to get rid of it?
Well, the people who own the pipes, right? Yeah. Verizon, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, AT&T, though their position is kind of complicated right now. But basically, if you own pipes, you want to be able to make a lot of money off of them by charging websites to travel over them.
And there's something to that. Think about that for a second. I own something. I want to be able to charge what I think I can get for those pipes. But in doing so, I'm also realizing that there's competition out there, and I want my pipes to be the fastest. I want it to be the quickest. I want to improve them always and try to better them. Try to better them. But see, companies like Google and Netflix, and they don't want that. They don't want that. They want everything to be the same. And part of the reason for that is because a lot of these ISPs, these internet service providers, also are content providers. So their fear is they're going to give their content the best flow, and they're going to make everybody else's content a little bit slow, a little bit slower, just a little bit slower. There's pros and cons to everything in this world.
And their point is that we own them, we should be able to do what we want with them, and the government shouldn't be involved.
And if we make more money, we'll invest more heavily in them, and you'll get faster speeds. We have had the principle of net neutrality, though, almost since the beginning of the internet, and it's flourished pretty well. It's working out pretty well, and it's a very innovative open space.
But we really haven't had it the way. Now, the Europeans have a version of net neutrality that they kind of use, and it's a lot like DSL, where everything's kind of equal, but it's spotty, and you don't have the ups and downs speeds and the things that we have here. It's crazy, right? Would you like that? I have friends that I deal with in Europe, and they'll tell me it's easier to make a phone call than to try to Skype or do other things like that, because they're in the middle of London, Madrid, Paris, and the net just isn't strong enough to get a good service. Think about that. Could you imagine being in L.A., New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, Miami? Nah, and that's not really strong enough. No. And then you'll go other weird places like Slovenia, and you'll get this great, amazing fast service. So it's hit and miss in a lot of places, and that's frustrating. But you feel, if I own something, shouldn't I be able to charge what I want? Shouldn't I be able? If somebody comes to me and say, I want to pay you for a faster service, I want to pay you for quicker, shouldn't that be okay? Shouldn't it? That's a question you should ask. Shouldn't that be okay? Well, no, that's not very fair. See, it's all about the fairness. That's what people continue to come back to, is fairness. And it's important because what do we do all day? Let's not pretend that we're doing work all day. We surf the net. It's on our phone. It is. How many of you out there have a plan that is somewhat limited? Because you don't want the unlimited plan anymore, because you spend 80% of your time in a place where you get free Wi-Fi. So what do? You have a plan that is somewhat limited, because I'm like, I don't need to spend $120 a month. I can spend $75 and I'll be totally fine because I'm on Wi-Fi most of the time. But then like a week before it's due, you're out somewhere and all of a sudden, because you've gone over. There's that's people say, well, see, that's what would happen. Yeah, but you're paying for it. If you want it faster, you should be able to pay for faster. And I have news for you. If Netflix provided their own internet service, they were their own internet service provider, and they pipe stuff out to people, you're telling me that they're only going to charge one? Or do you think they would charge two levels? I'm just curious. Or they would charge three. And if I'm a company that is an internet service provider, right? I'm a company that's that. And this is what they'll tell you here. It's worked great. It's all these things. But if I'm a company that provides this and you're telling me I can't charge what I want to charge and everything's kind of be equal, then what's the use of going out and continuing to improve over and over and over and over again? Why would I want to sink hundreds of millions and potentially billions of dollars into internet infrastructure if it's essentially might as well be the same thing day in and day out?
The sort of the core point of net neutrality is that the internet has been a place of openness. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you can start a company, where you can do what you want, and you can be reasonably certain that if you put a website on the internet, people will be able to get to it. But if we don't have net neutrality, and you start a company that is opposed to something that Comcast is running, and it's a competitor to something that Time Warner Cable has, they can shut you down. So it's not just competition, it's the entire principle of the internet.
See, that's, you know, that's the whole thought process. Well, if I start something and I put it on the internet and Comcast doesn't like it, they could come and shut me down. Really? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you honestly think that's going to happen? We don't like your business. We're going to shut you down. But with internet, with net neutrality, everybody can be on there saying all the things they want to say, doing all the things they want to do, and everybody will have access to everybody else. But without net neutrality, oh my God, it'll be destroyed and people will be kicked off and they will get rid of the everything they don't like. And that's a bunch of crap. I think it's hogwash. By the way, the rest of the world's been running on net neutrality. And you know what? We've been running without net neutrality. How do you feel? Do you wake up in the morning and go, God, my internet sucks? Or, well, sometimes you get frustrated, right? It slows down. But do you wake up and think, no, if we had net neutrality, my internet. No, you don't think that crap. Nobody thinks that. People are insane. They are. And if I'm looking at, and look, I'm all about fairness, but I also realize, too, some people drive Ferraris. You know why? Because they have the money to pay for them. Some people drive a Yugo. You know why? Because they don't have the money to buy a Ferrari. Or they're weird. But it's mostly they don't have the money to buy a Ferrari. And when I talked about this earlier, people said, well, you just don't get it, Chad. You just understand. And these companies are going to now hold, they're going to hold a gun to our head, and they're going to take all the money they possibly can, and they're going to just ruin the internet. I said, well, they haven't done it so far. And here's the thing. People always think that, but it never ends up happening. Because the fear factor is that they're going to do something like that, and then another company is going to come in and find a way to produce something cheaper, quicker, easier, and better. And lo and behold, they take all the business. But if you make it quick, easy, cheap, and decent, and good, and potentially great at times, nobody wants to get into that space because it's just not worth it. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It is a hump day Wednesday. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. People are talking to me about, you know, how the media at times has just been just crazy over certain situations. And this is true. Remember the Ebola virus? Was it 2.5 years ago? And there's a perfect example of a hyper-focus on something. Right now it's Russia and the disdain it has for Trump and his sons and everything about them. But the media was so hyper-focused on the Ebola virus. And I remember I was just starting out, the show had just gone national, and I challenged people. I will give you a month's paycheck if you can go out and catch the Ebola virus. You can have one of my paychecks. You can have one of my paychecks, go outside, catch the Ebola virus. Guess what? Nobody caught it. Remember when Nancy Lieberman from ABC News, I think, she went outside after being in Africa, and then she came home and said, well, you should be quarantined for like 2 weeks, but she went outside after 7 days and got croissants in like Maine, and oh my God, how this... Settle down, please, for the love of goodness. They can paint a story, they can paint a narrative, they can push a story, they can push the narrative. If it bleeds, it leads. The Ebola virus was interesting. Why? Because it doesn't happen a lot. I think, what, 4 Americans or 6 Americans in the history of the Ebola virus have ever caught the Ebola virus? You know who catches the Ebola virus? People who live in the bush in Africa. And by the time they realize that they're sick and they've got the Ebola virus, a lot of the people inside of the community or inside the village already has it because it spreads so quickly. Then all of a sudden, here comes the World Health Organization. And that's who catches it. Not somebody from Petaluma, California. Not somebody from Cedar Rapids, not somebody from Fargo, but it was a huge thing. Russia is this massive, huge thing. They probe, doesn't affect us, but that's where they want you to look all the time. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Dare I say, you probably have a better chance of catching the Ebola virus than you do having the Russia probe and what takes place within this affecting your life. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. It's possible. Shia LaBeouf, actor, really good actor, may have a problem. Chad Benson Show.
Have you guys seriously never heard of donuts?
Somewhere in the world, at any given moment, Chad is thinking about sugary sweet glazed donuts.
Mmm, donut.
Nothing new there.
I think you and I are gonna get along just okay.
Let's get a great text message. You can always text the program, 323-538-2423. This sums it up perfectly. I had knee surgery last week. I had to wait 10 days to get the surgery. Pisses me off. If I would have had medical neutrality, then I could have waited 6 or 7 months to get surgery like a Canadian. I'm so pissed off. Canadian Europeans are so lucky they get to wait. I have to do it right away. Denny in Santa Barbara, what's happening? Ah, that's good. Phil's pushing all the buttons. That's why you're our astronaut and our choice, Phil, to go to Mars.
This is why they only want to send me one way to Mars.
Shia LaBeouf, look, if you and I have issues in life, we do it in a quiet way, right? We try to. Every once in a while, something goes viral. Shia LaBeouf, though, loves being in front of the camera. And he is at times cantankerous and angry. And at times, I'm wondering, is he the greatest performance artist in the history of the world, or is something a bit off? And when you have a guy that is very creative, you have a guy that is extremely talented, you can wonder stuff like this. And he's not a fan of Trump. Well, he was arrested in Georgia over the weekend. And guess what they have in Georgia? Police have this thing called body cameras. And Shia LaBeouf put on a performance for the ages, dare I say.
What did I do, sir? I have rights. I have rights. I'm an American.
Come on, talk to me.
You got me in my hotel, arrested me in my hotel for doing what, sir?
Let's go.
Yo, you really got these cuffs on me heavy, bro.
I'll fix it.
Let me out.
Listen, can we talk, me and you?
No, we can't talk nothing.
Listen, I'm not the one that arrested
you. American. Okay. I pay my taxes. Get these shits off my fucking arms.
So we're not going to have a conversation?
No. Okay. You're going to put these shits off my arms or you'll be fucking fucked.
The cuffs are too tight. Why am I in custody? Why am I in custody?
So that's how it started out, because he was arrested because he said that he was just asking for a smoke, because that's all you're doing, Shy, right? You're just asking for a smoke. And it starts to get ugly and go downhill, but you hear what happens when you mix alcohol with a little of uncertainty in one's well-being and mind and anger and also some a little pretentiousness and a little I'm better than you, and you get these.
Who are you fighting for? You got a president don't give a shit about you, and you stuck in a police force that don't give a fuck about you. So you want to arrest white people who give a fuck, who ask for cigarettes? I came up to you trying to be nice, you stupid bitch.
Because you know what? Really, really, the cops love it when you call them a stupid biatch. They're like, wow, this guy's just great. You're speaking my language. The kindness of it all. But see, it wouldn't be a situation of out of controlness if you as a celebrity didn't get to the point where you started to invoke the kind of, do you know who I am and what I can do to you? Shia LaBeouf, nominated for Biggest Asshat of the Week.
I came up to you asking for a cigarette, you dumb fuck. Why would I ask for a cigarette if I was racist, you stupid bitch? I was asking for a cigarette. You said no. I said word. And then you arrested me, you dumb fuck. They got cameras everywhere, you dummy. I got more millionaire lawyers than you know what to do with, you stupid bitch. dummy.
Okay.
That's still, first of all, producer Phil says, why is he asking a cop for a smoke? Secondly, and I do believe this is also rather important, is what does I'm from it mean? I still have not figured it out. I have asked people that are hipper and cooler than I am. They do not know what it means, but maybe it is something new. But what I do know is he is from it. And that is all that you need to know. He is from it. So you better recognize. I'm going to say this is going to come with an apology very soon, because that's what they do. From his publicist is like, look, dude, we can't defend this. You need to get out and say you're having issues, that you're going to be seeking treatment, because that's the best way to deflect these kind of things, is turn yourself into a victim. I will be seeking treatment because I have an issue. And then lo and behold, things will magically happen, i.e. he disappears for 30 or 60 days to calm the press down. I don't know. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us, 323-538-2423. Getting you over that hump as we do. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.